So once again, welcome to today's call and thank you very much for joining us today. Moving on to the next session, which is Srimad Bhagavatam class. It gives me immense pleasure to introduce our today's speaker, His Grace Ram Girdhari Prabhuji. And today's talk, and Prabhuji is going to walk us through Srimad Bhagavatam 4.15.5 onwards. Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Are you there on the call?
Yes, I'm present on the call. Can you hear me?
Yes, Prabhuji, we can hear you. Thank you so much, Prabhuji. Dandavat Pranam. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Thank you so much for giving us this opportunity, your valuable time and association this morning. I would like to hand over the call to you now. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So we are reading from text 5 and we will also read text 6 of the 4th canto, chapter 15. So I'll read both the verses before we start our discussion. Iyam cha sudati devi guna bhushana bhushana archir nama vararoha ritum deva varundati. Translation: the female has such beautiful teeth and beautiful qualities that she will actually beautify the ornaments she wears. Her name will be Archi. In the future, she will accept King Prithu as her husband. Text 6. Esha sakshadare ramsho jato lokari rakshaya yam chatat parahi shir anujagne yapa anujagne na phaini. Translation: in the form of King Prithu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead has appeared through a part of his potency to protect the people of the world. The goddess of fortune is the constant companion of the Lord, and therefore she has incarnated partially as Archi to become King Prithu's queen. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Purport: in Bhagavad Gita, the Lord says that whenever one sees an extraordinary power, he should conclude that a specific partial representation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is present. There are innumerable such personalities, but not all of them are direct Vishnu Tattva plenary expansion for the Lord. Many living entities are classified among the Shakti Tattvas. Such incarnations, empowered for specific purposes, are known as Shaktyavesh Avataras. King Prithu was such a Shakti Avesh Avatara of the Lord. Similarly, Archi, King Prithu's wife, was a Shakti Avesh Avatara of the Goddess of Fortune. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshuran Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Namaom Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamin Vitenamine. Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvisesha Sunyavadi Pachatya Deshatarine. Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaurabhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So, Prithu Maharaj has finally appeared, and Prithu Maharaj is going to revert the situation that King Vena has done. King Vena, as a part of his ruling, he did so much of a notorious activity that the Brahmanas who enthroned him have themselves finished him. So King Vena represents modern day so-called educated, so-called political leaders who does not have any basis of spiritual understanding. And not only that, they don't have basis of spiritual understanding, they are completely self-centered in nature, because of which the whole society is in trouble. So whenever such situation arises, it is the responsibility of the civilized man to take charge and try to work towards fixing the situation. A Brahmana or an intelligent class of man cannot tolerate nonsense being completely ruling over. Nonsense can be tolerated for some time, but it cannot be tolerated forever. And Srila Prabhupada once, he was giving a class in, he was addressing a public program. He was an invited guest, where there were other spiritual leaders were invited. His Grace Burijan Prabhu shared this pastime. There, Srila Prabhupada was asked to speak, so he spoke, he finished his address. Then some other spiritual leader was asked to speak. Unfortunately, that spiritual leader, whoever spoke, did not speak anything sensible, and he spoke in a manner which was offensive towards the Supreme Lord. Srila Prabhupada waited for 10 minutes, tolerated. 20 minutes, he was getting restless. It was such a large assembly. Maximum Srila Prabhupada was able to wait till 35-40 minutes. I'm not sure exactly, I may be wrong in the timing. But Srila Prabhupada waited for a while that this guy will end doing whatever nonsense. And he couldn't tolerate any further when he reached to an extent saying or demeaning the position of the Supreme Lord. Srila Prabhupada told his disciples right there, stop this guy right away. I mean, it is such a large assembly in the stage. There were tens of thousands of people sitting in the audience hearing. And it is not a program organized by ISKCON. You are an invited guest. How can we even state something of that capacity to go and stop? So, Purijan Prabhu, who was asked to do the service, couldn't comprehend how to apply this advice of Srila Prabhupada. So, as always, whenever a devotee, a disciple did not know what to do, they go back to Srila Prabhupada. And That way, he went back to Srila Prabhupada and said, Srila Prabhupada, you please advise, how are we supposed to stop this? Srila Prabhupada said, please start kirtan. And right there, they all started the kirtan when that person was speaking. I fully don't remember what happened, but definitely it might not have given a very positive impression. But at the same time, Srila Prabhupada gave a very clear-cut impression to everybody assembled there that we will not tolerate nonsense beyond a point in time. Why the tolerance of nonsense? Because everybody is coming out of some sort of baggage from the past. So the effect of it may be still there and the process can purify them. But if a person's nonsense is affecting the harmony of the society to an extent that all the same people are also getting affected, then it is a duty of the Brahmana, it is a duty of the same person to react. Insanity is defined where a person keeps doing the same set of things in which result was not produced. He can do the same set of things again and again and expecting a different result is called insanity. I do some set of activities and it did not produce results. And I keep doing those activities again, expecting a different result, is called insanity. So the current day leaders, they keep giving promises and giving hopes that some change will happen and we will improve in our lifestyle and activities. It's insanity. So the Brahmanas were very clear that they cannot tolerate this insanity anymore. So they decided to take an extreme step of punishing King Vena. There is a syndrome which is very popularly, you know, spoken about in the modern day scenario. The syndrome is called pump syndrome. Pump syndrome means problematic use of material philosophy. PUMP, problematic use of material philosophy. This is referred to various situations where people have extensive addiction towards mobile, extensive addiction towards movies, extensive addiction to social media. So in a normal day analysis, they call this as a pump syndrome. In our own Krishna consciousness lives, also we have this pump syndrome. And that's something that with the help of Brahmanas, Vaishnavas, we need to come out of it. So we are going to have some set of reflections today. And through those reflections, let us understand the current context. So intolerance is our first reflection. There are something as practicing devotees, we are expected to tolerate. In a sense, tarorapi sahishnuna. Tarorapi sahishnuna. is not applicable in certain situations. Sahishnuta, tolerance, is towards a situation where we are given pains and our personal desires, our personal aspirations are compromised in front of others. Some comfort of us are foregone towards in the process of execution of service. So tolerance is supposed to be exhibited there. But wherever things are going against dharma, wherever things are happening against the Vedic principles, we need not show any tolerance. At that time, we should show intolerance. We have many, many examples in Vedic literature. And every time such an intolerance produced great result. So our first reflection is showing intolerance, showing our anger, showing our seriousness in Krishna consciousness directed towards righteousness is what the current situation is. So Brahmana's arm twisting, what we call as materialistic arm twisting here, Brahmanas twisted both the arms of King Vena. They churned his thigh. I mean, I don't know the technology, how they managed to produce Prithu Maharaj and Queen Archie. It is beyond my comprehension, but to accept Bhagavatam as it is. If you know, the mindset of Brahmanas at that time was, they became intolerant. They tried to pacify. They tried to encourage. They tried to somehow or other educate King Vena. But King Vena did not budge. King Vena rather rejected all the directions of the Brahmanas, and hence they took an extreme step. Ramanujacharya, Madhvacharya, Srila Prabhupada, Dhruva Maharaj, Prahlad Maharaj, we can go on giving an example of how Vibhishana, they all tolerated situations to some extent. But when the situation became highly intolerant, they walked out of the situation to fix the situation. And they did it in a way by which it gave good fortune to themselves, and it gave good fortune to the entire society. Sometimes our practicing devotees, not knowing where to show tolerance, not knowing where to show intolerance, they try to kind of get into a confused state and create a mess in their own lives. Sometimes they quote, intolerance is needed in a marriage life and walk out of the marriage life. And they show tolerance in a Vaishnava society where aparadha is explicitly happening, showing I'm supposed to be tolerant. So it's a very wrong, so it's a very detailed, important subject matter that each and every one practicing devotee need to know. And all of these acharyas, all these great personalities, when they showed their intolerance, they did it in a very cultured, organized, and obedient manner. So our first lesson, our first reflection is, in our journey of Krishna consciousness, we should need to know where all we should tolerate and where all we should be intolerant. It is said a person is considered as most unfortunate on four grounds. Number one, if he does not worship Krishna. Number two, if he is extremely attached to the family to the extent that he is blind of all his intelligence. Number three, if somebody is deprived of devotees' association. And number four, if somebody does not have the opportunity to serve Vaishnavas and any other devotees. So if anything in our life that comes in the way of these four things, we cannot claim our tolerance there. I was tolerant enough in not worshipping Krishna because I am supposed to be tolerating. I was tolerant enough because I am extremely attached to the family. I have to give weightage to that. I was tolerant enough that even though a great Vaishnava is, you know, around us, my family is more important. So such types of tolerance. The reason why we are bringing into this context is when you see and hear such stories from Ritu Maharaj and King Vena's episode, what is there for us to apply in our lives? So every time Bhagavatam, in every episode, we have to search for what is that for us in this. And from that perspective, we are discussing about this particular point of intolerance. So the Brahmanas, they were taking responsibility. At the same time, they were evaluating if that responsibility that they had taken is fully functioning. If not, they already take an alternative and fix the situation, and the result is Ritu Maharaj's appearance. So any time when we as practicing devotees take shelter of a bona fide process and try to be intolerant against these four things. What are the four things? Anything that comes in my way of worshipping. Being very much dedicated to the devotees and serving devotees, I will not tolerate. So like this, we need to work towards our journey in Krishna consciousness, and the resultant is what Srila Prabhupada gave, this wonderful Krishna consciousness movement. Because Maya's constant threat, Maya does not come, you know, she comes in the form of our friends, she can come in the form of our colleagues, relatives, boss, neighbors, social media, interesting things. So Maya can come in any form. And what is her threat? Her threat is to take us away from association. Her threat is to make our faith on the process weak. Her threat is to increase the doubts in the process. Her threat is to, you know, reduce our enthusiasm. Maya is threatening us. So one side, the nature of Kali Yuga is imposing us on unfortunate situations. Another side, Maya is threatening us from the form of distracting us. As mentioned in the Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, first chapter, text number 10. Prayena alpa ayusha sabhyat kala vasmin yuge jana manda sumanda matayo manda bhagya hi upadrutaha. I give an acronym for this. Kali Yuga is called SL Mud. What does SL Mud means? S for short lived, prayana alpayusha. L refers to laziness. M refers to misguided. U refers to unfortunate. And D refers to disturbed. Manda sumanda matayo manda bhagya hi upadvita. Laziness, misguided. And an intelligent student, what he does, he tries to work in a manner to challenge, because we have got a tool. Chakshurun militam yena tasmai shri gurave namaha. In this case, the brahmanas themselves, they did the act of fixing the situation. In our case, we need to surrender to such brahmanas, we need to surrender to such bona fide processors and spiritual masters to help us be showing our intolerance towards such things. So we spoke as a first reflection on intolerance. We can go on one whole session only on this intolerance, because we have other you know, few points to share. So as practicing devotees, we need to learn to tolerate as well as not tolerate certain things. Number two, here Srila Prabhupada writes in text number 6, how any extraordinary thing, any extraordinary power, anything great that is happening, that is actually Krishna. As we always speak, as we always mention in the past, many, many discussions, we have only two truths. One is Krishna. Second is Krishna's. A devotee needs to know how everything can be regulated and how everything can be dovetailed for the pleasure of Krishna, because they actually belong to Krishna. So King Prithu's appearance, what is going to happen in King Prithu's appearance? He is going to dovetail everything. Whatever King Vena claimed it as him, himself, whatever King Vena tried to possess it as for his enjoyment, King Prithu is going to reverse the situation and offer everything back to Krishna and re-establish dharma. We're going to go through a very interesting, series, this Prithumara series, because a lot of wonderful lessons are there. King Prithu is going to challenge Mother Earth. King Prithu is going to remove his sword and going to challenge Mother Earth. What are you doing if you are not producing necessary results? So he shows his prowess. He challenges everyone to make sure everything can be dovetailed in Krishna's service. So the second reflection is Shakti Avesh Avatar. What is Shakti Avesh Avatar here? Some opulence, some power, something special that is extraordinarily unique and special. If we see, there is actually Krishna, and that speciality is meant to dovetail them back to Krishna. So this act of Prithu Maharaj, his appearance, is going to regulate, dovetail, organize everything in such a way, everything is going to be offered back to the source to whom everything belongs to. So as a part of our second reflection, we have to derive that the way King Prithu is going to dovetail everything to the source as avatar, even though he is human being, because Shakti Avesh avatar is not Vishnu Tattva. Shakti Avesh avatar is Jiva Tattva. Just because he has been empowered, he has been invested with some extraordinary power and potency to behave and create situations in such a manner that what avatar could have done, this personality could do. And Prithu Maharaj did that. So in our own lives, when we receive Krishna, when we kill Venas in our heart, when we are learning to become intolerant, the net outcome of intolerance cannot be chaos. The net outcome of intolerance should be organization. The net outcome of such reactive situation, when Vibhishana was intolerant towards Ravana, it is not that he created a ruckus. He very humbly requested himself to be excused and he joined Lord Ram's army. When Srila Prabhupada left his home, he was not trying to create nonsense, creating some scene. He rather went and created International Society for Krishna Consciousness. When Ramanujacharya left home, when Prahlad Maharaj behaved with his father, with his friends, every time when such intolerance came, the resultant action is definitely an organization. One day, Giriraj Maharaj was sleeping in the rooftop of Krishna Balaram Mandir, Gurukul building in Vrindavan. This is in October or November, October or early November 1977. So, Prabhupada was already very weak and in the middle of one night, the disciples called, Srila Prabhupada called the disciples, and it was almost in the middle night, and disciples were wondering why Srila Prabhupada is calling at this point in time. So they thought something urgent, so they went to Prabhupada, and Srila Prabhupada said, please call Giriraj. And in the middle of the night, they called Srila Prabhupada, they called Giriraj Maharaj from the rooftop. So Giriraj Maharaj came running to see Srila Prabhupada, thinking that something very important Srila Prabhupada wanted to say. Srila Prabhupada could barely speak. So Giriraj Maharaj came running towards Srila Prabhupada. And then Srila Prabhupada called and asked, "So, what do you think? After my departure, if the movement will continuously thrive, Giriraj Maharaj asked, you know, maybe there is something Srila Prabhupada is trying to ask from us. Maybe trying to Srila Prabhupada is going to say something which is very, very important. Maybe he's trying to test our spiritual understanding." So Srila Prabhupada said, Giriraj Maharaj said, "Yes, of course, Srila Prabhupada. Definitely, even after your departure, the movement will function. Everything will, you know, go very nicely. We don't see a problem. If we follow four regulative principles, if we follow whatever you have mentioned to us, chant 15 rounds and following four regulative principles, then everything will be all right." So Srila Prabhupada heard that and he said in a very faltering voice, he said, "Organization, Prabhupada said two things, and one of them is about organization. So, even though Srila Prabhupada acknowledged about the four regulative principles and chanting 16 rounds and following his instructions, how that will be done is with a form of organization. In this current context, this story is relevant because Prithu Maharaj, by his appearance, he is going to do, or he is going to kind of fix the situation that King Vena had disturbed. So in our second reflection, what I want to share here was, as a practicing devotee, we need to know how this implementation of intolerance should be dovetailed towards better organization of our spiritual life. Organization here, not just about the administrative part. How do we organize our life? How do we prioritize our life? How do we create focus to our Krishna consciousness? And how do we function and apply Krishna consciousness principle in our daily life? So I have a reflection on this. Whereas practicing devotees, the way we should organize is we should convert our house to an ashram. Typically, we buy a house, we make it as a home, and we live in home, usually, we convert them to an ashram. regulated and disciplined life with Krishna in the focus, where we learn to organize money, learn to organize our sexual activities, learn to organize our power and position in the family life in such a way that they are regulated and not distraction for our spiritual life. That way, we will be able to win over the Vena propensity within ourselves. So hence, the second reflection is about organization. Intolerance in our spiritual life, intolerance for our spiritual life should lead us to work in such a vairagya, such a focused manner where we learn to organize ourselves in such a way Krishna is the focus, the way Ritu Maharaj is going to demonstrate by his Shakti Avesh Avatar. So the Shakti Avesh Avatar, the extraordinary power that he is going to show, the extraordinary power that we have received through the parampara, the extraordinary benefit that we have in our Krishna consciousness, that we need to make sure that they are somewhere or other dovetailed in Krishna consciousness. I would like to remind here that the best way to organize a grihastha ashram is, if you know to organize your money, if you know to organize your sensual pleasures or sense gratificatory thing, and organize our power and position, and know to position ourselves in such a way that our grihastha ashram is not a distraction, rather it is an ashram, where it is regulated, where it is organized, where it is, you know, completely dovetailed. When Srila Prabhupada said to Giriraj Maharaj, organization and intelligence. So if we use our intelligence and organize ourselves, so of all the things Srila Prabhupada called in the middle of the night at 12 o'clock and called Giriraj Maharaj and said, organization and intelligence, so which means there is something that is very critical for us to understand in our own devotional life, and hence our intelligence is to take advantage of Srila Prabhupada's movement, take advantage of senior devotees, take advantage of the process of Krishna consciousness, and try to organize the movement as well as organize our own lives and try to develop Krishna consciousness. So Prithu Maharaj's entire Leela is about organization and intelligence, and how this will be time and again proven by the course of episode that they're going to see. The end result of organization and intelligence is Krishna Prem. And in this episode of Prithu Maharaj, how that is going to be delivered is very nice. Krishna appeared in his assembly, and Krishna appeared and said that your devotion is going to be successful because Sanat Kumaras are going to visit your house and are going to give you personal advice. The sequence is, Prithu Maharaj obeyed Brahma when 99 times Indra came and snatched away the horse from the Ashwamedha Yajna that Prithu Maharaj wanted to do. 99 times Prithu Maharaj fought. Brahma interfered. Then Brahma told Prithu Maharaj that please give up this fight. That is not the agenda of our fire sacrifice. The agenda of our fire sacrifice is to be in, you know, mode of goodness. Even though for finishing the Ashwamedha Yajna, you need to have 100 Ashwamedha yajnas to be done, 100 times the sacrifice needs to be done. So he did 99 times, and 99 times Indra came and disturbed, and every time he fought over Indra. And finally, when Brahma requested, Ritu Maharaj agreed. Ritu Maharaj surrendered. Ritu Maharaj gave importance to Brahma's words more so than his desire to win. Because of the obedience to Brahma, Lord Vishnu appeared in the fire sacrifice, even though the sacrifice was not officially complete. And Lord Vishnu's appearance is also considered as a success of Ritu Maharaj. But Lord Vishnu, when he appeared, he said the success of it is not yet over. The success of this fire sacrifice will be when Vaishnavas visit your house. So Sanat Kumaras are going to visit your house very soon. And they will advise you, they will direct you, they will instruct you, they will enable you in devotional life. Can you imagine? So the whole point is how organizational intelligence, how the showing of his power, how by his challenging towards everybody else for dharmic activities has fruitioned in such a stage that finally he has to meet with wonderful Vaishnavas visiting our house and blessing them. So this is the entire snapshot of Ritu Maharaj's episode. We are going to learn this in the next 5, 6, 7 chapters. So the bottom line is, intolerance leads us to organization. And I was just saying how a simplest way a grihastha can organize is to convert his house as an ashram. And how it is called an ashram when 5 of the following activities that I'm going to list is done, then the grihastha's life is called ashram. It is called grihastha ashram. If these 5 things are not there, it is no more a grihastha ashram. It is purely a home where sense gratification is the center. Ashram, Krishna is the center. House is just building. So what are the 5 things? Number 1, feed Vaishnavas, invite them and host them. Invite Vaishnavas to house, feed them, host them, serve them. Number 2, spend your money for worshipping Krishna in our own houses. Once Hanumat Parishak Swami mentioned this to me in one of the lectures. He mentioned that he was quoting Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada has said, if every grihastha is not spending their earned money for taking care of their deities at their home in a best possible way, they will surely fall down in their spiritual life. So when I heard this, I was a bit concerned. Then I asked them, what do you mean by best possible way? Then he said that every individual should give their heart, their love to worshipping the deities at home as deities, as one of their family members. Not just that deities are meant only for, you know, officially offering our bhoga so that we can eat whatever we want to eat. They are not some formality at home. They are our members of the home. So the more you take care of them with love and care, the more our devotion will increase. So for second to do in a grihastha ashram is to take care of deities. Third, feed the cows and poor animals. Fourth, give charity to Brahmanas and Vaishnavas. Fifth, take care of the family who are dependent on us, especially elders, children, women, diseased. Because as an earning member of the Varnashrama, we are the only ones who are supposed to be attending to them. So it is our duty. And if anyone does these 5 things, then grihastha ashrama is ashrama, otherwise it is just a home. So that's our second reflection. The third reflection and the last one in our today's discussion is about a very interesting set of realizations which will help us to reflect on how do we even reflect. These Brahmanas, they made a mistake by enthroning King Vena. In the process of enthroning King Vena, they realized that they made a stupid decision, I mean not so welcoming decision. So they realized it later. In our own lives also, we do come across a situation where we make some decisions and as a part of that we suffer and then we realize. So we are going to discuss about some set of principles. I just quickly list them because we don't have time to go over that. These principles will help us to handle even the wrong decision to be overturned in the favor of Krishna consciousness. In everyone's life, especially I'm talking from a grahastha context, but it is not just applicable to grahastha, it is applicable to everybody. We are faced with some disaster situation. Disaster could be financial loss, health loss, family member loss, or some mistakes, some grave, things happening in our lives. So because of our destiny, because of our something of our past, we face with some challenges, and whenever such challenge comes, we start to go to Krishna and say, why, what, how? So many questions we ask him. And sometimes these disasters are helpful for us. And during this disaster only we start doubting. I thought this material world is for my enjoyment. I thought this material world is for my pleasure. I thought all I am earning is for my own benefit. But it seems to be not the case. So every disaster gives us some doubt about our intention that we originally had to enjoy here, and finally we start developing a doubt, because every doubt that we get like that gives us a desire to learn to know the truth. And when we try to take some devotee's association to knowing the truth, we go associate with them and learn to discriminate. So my point here is, when I am intolerant towards unwanted things in life, and when I have organized myself and using my intelligence conduct my grihasthashram properly, I need to learn to discriminate. And this discrimination comes from our desire to learn spirituality. And this desire comes when we doubt about our own material acquisition. And this doubt comes many a times when we are faced with some disaster. So this 4D, disaster, doubt, desire and discrimination, is something that we always need to put our headspace in, because whenever we are faced with disaster, we can doubt about the happiness in this material world. That's when we start to realize Dukkhalayam Asashvatam. And when we have such a doubt, that's when we desire to take more and more devotees association. And when we take more and more devotees association, that's when we discriminate. So the context that here is, that when Prithu Maharaj is going to appear here, and Prithu Maharaj just appeared, he appeared because of a disaster that happened, and this disaster actually gave opportunity for discriminating. So Prithu Maharaj is now going to go on discriminating and try to dovetail things back. So one of the things that we need for our spiritual upliftment, and one of the things that we need for our organizational intelligence, and now one of the things that is needed for our intolerance is we need to know to discriminate. This is Krishna consciousness. This is Krishna consciousness look alike. So I am supposed to subscribe to Krishna consciousness and not supposed to get carried away by Krishna conscious look alike. Bhakti, bhakti jaisa. In Hindi you say bhakti jaisa means something that looks like bhakti but it is not bhakti. So as we develop intelligence, intelligence means discrimination. Discrimination comes only when you desire, and the desire is popping up only when you associate with the devotees, and you associated with devotees because you had a doubt. Probably my money is not going to give me pleasure, my position is not going to give me pleasure, and all the things that I have acquired is not going to give me pleasure, and that thought you got only when there is a disaster. So sometimes disasters in our life are okay. So we had a disaster of King Vena, and this disaster gave rise to Prithu Maharaj, who is going to go ahead and discriminate and going to challenge people who are against Dharma, and who is going to support people who are against, you know, support people who are for Dharma, and that way he is going to establish righteousness in the society. So these are the three sets of reflections, and his Shakti Avesh Avatar, he is doing these three things. As a Shakti Avesh Avatar of the Supreme Lord, Prithu Maharaj is going to show intolerance, Prithu Maharaj is going to show organization and intelligence, Prithu Maharaj is going to demonstrate discrimination, and throughout the Leela of Prithu Maharaj, you'll learn this in a different context. So to summarize our understanding, we discussed three sets of reflections. Before we started those reflections, we established that how it is extremely important for us to learn what is to be tolerated, what we are supposed to be tolerating, and what we are supposed to be not tolerating. We listed four most unfortunate things can happen to somebody's life. A person is considered as most unfortunate if he is bereft of Krishna's worship, if he is extremely attached to the family, if he is deprived of devotees' association, if he or she is not having the opportunity to serve Vaishnavas. We also spoke about four threats of Maya, which is Maya can take us away from association, Maya can make our own faith in the process to be weak, Maya can bring in doubts in our heart, and Maya can reduce enthusiasm. And with this in the background, we were discussing about how King Vena is not just a, you know, historical character. It is an ideology. It is a personality quotient within each and every one of us, and also somebody who is there in the society who is trying to disrupt dharmic lifestyle. So we need to identify Vena within ourselves. We need to identify Vena amongst us, surrounded by us, and we need to kind of exclude ourselves from such a situation and try to organize our spirituality. And with that basis, we discussed three sets of principles. How King Vena was fixed by the Brahmanas, who took responsibility, who showed their tolerance in the past, and their tolerance couldn't reap results, and hence they showed their sign of responsibility by becoming intolerant and trying to kill King Vena and bring in Prithu Maharaj and Archi. So in our own endeavor, we should also learn where to tolerate and where to be not tolerant. So we should show our intolerance by, you know, not being party with any of those things that are going to stop us worshipping Krishna, that are going to stop us serving Vaishnavas. So intolerance needs to be very nicely accepted or applied. And we gave many examples of Prabhupada, Vibhishana, Ramanujacharya, Prahlad Maharaj, so many examples we gave. And this intolerance should take us to a situation of organization and intelligence, And the best way to organize is organize our lives, organize our family, organize our house, transform our house to an ashram. And an ashram means when the five things are done, the Vaishnavas are invited, fed and taken care, Supreme Personality of Godhead is worshipped, cows are sheltered and protected, charity is given to Brahmanas and Vaishnavas, and family members and dependents are very nicely taken care. If these five things are done with Krishna in the center, then a grahastha ashram is called an ashram. Otherwise, it is just a place of sense gratification. And this organization and intelligence should eventually lead us to discrimination. And if discrimination is not in place, we will not be able to establish dharma in our life. And discrimination should be done by associating with devotees. And the association will become meaningful when we start experiencing some, you know, especially for not so first class devotees, that we wait for some disaster for us to get into righteousness. So sometimes disaster and sometimes doubts in our heart, when they are directed in the right direction, could be useful for our spiritual life. So hence, our strong desire to associate with devotee to learn discrimination is something which is going to be an integral part of our spirituality. So intolerance, organization and intelligence, and discrimination are the three reflections of today's discussion. So thank you so much. If it was too complicated or technical or anything is not clear, so I am ready to clarify my points. Grantra Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Any questions or comments?
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, Koti Koti Dandavat Pranam, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Such a nectarian class and such a nice realization as usual. Prabhuji, you explained that read Tulsi Bhagavatam, invite Vaishnava and serve them and take care of our deities like a family member and tolerate the present situation Dhruv Maharaj, Prahlad Maharaj, Ramanujacharya, so many examples, Kunti Maharani. Thank you very much, Prabhuji, for your association. No words to your sincere seva. Srila Prabhupada, Srila Gurudev ki jai. Hare Krishna, Prabhuji, Dandavat Pranam.
Hare Krishna, Madhavir. Thank you so much. Any specific questions or comments?
Hare Krishna, Dandavat Pranam, Prabhuji.
Yes, Madhavir, Dandavat.
Yes, my question revolves around the point that when you said that when a devotee is bereft of the association of devotees, Maya takes you far from association. Also, the devotee is not able to serve, the devotee is not able to progress. But if suppose an initiated disciple falls into this category, so isn't Guru's grace enough for the, for the disciple to go back home to Godhead, provided the vows are being followed well on the disciple's part?
Yes, and at the same time, the message here is, moment I am initiated, we need to understand from Nectar of Instruction, Rupa Goswami very clearly says, initiation is not an entitlement. Initiation is support given for a practitioner to develop his or her faith to move forward in Krishna consciousness. It is not end, it is a beginning. Number two, that initiation is a stage where spiritual master is giving an acknowledgement that yes, I will give you support and I will bless you, I will take responsibility, and he also says you should also take responsibility. When a person is initiated, he is all the more responsible than before from the perspective of not adding some nonsense to his life. Initiation is like taking bath, and after taking bath, if somebody dirty themselves, then he is definitely need to go again and take bath. So the reason why we were insisting about Maya and giving a combination of Maya to be handled by devotees association was from the perspective of how much ever we are purified, if we have not got rid of the propensity to stop nonsense in our life, which is a bigger agenda by itself. Because we take bath, we go to the temple, associated devotees, hear Srimad Bhagavatam. But as soon as we come out of the situation, because we are not yet giving ourselves 24/7/365 to be in that situation, either because of work or family circumstances, we have to face some social situation. And when we face a social situation, and when we get ourselves carried away by such social situation, we accumulate some nonsense. And when we accumulate some nonsense, that nonsense happens to be a cause of concern, which again needs to be purified in devotees association. But when somebody is in the constant association of devotees, and when somebody is constantly in the path of dharma, last week I spoke in another forum where we spoke about how we need to be very careful as a first and foremost responsibility as a practicing devotee is to stop doing sinful activities. But unfortunately, most of us, we have not yet, we thought that we have holy name, we have Bhagavatam, so sometimes we are very loose about our daily routine, so we don't even know that we do some sinful activities, sometimes knowingly, sometimes not knowingly, thinking that my process will purify, even though one of the 10 offenses is not to do sinful activities on the strength of the holy name of the Lord, but we somewhere forget that and commit sins. And to be very honest, the current society, current education system, the current mindset of the people is some of the things which are sins are never even perceived as sins. Telling a lie is a sin. But it has now become such a common scenario that I need to tell a lie for my survival. Cheating is a sin. But cheating has become an common activity. So there are many such sinful activities which you have not given. Some of them are gross, which are four regulative principles broken, that are sinful. Some of them are subtle, which are definitely going to affect our consciousness. And definitely these are all not something that we can give up on our own. We need devotees association, constant devotees association, so that we can somehow, having a hope, we can have a hope to get rid of them as we progress in Krishna consciousness. So from that perspective, initiation is definitely a support and strength for us, but not necessarily an entitlement. Just because we are initiated, we have freedom to, be without the association, I wouldn't say that. Did I respond to your question, Mataji?
Prabhuji, Mataji is talking, but we are not able to hear. Thank you, Prabhuji, for the nice time.
I'm sorry, I'm not able to hear. I'm not sure if I was clear. Any other questions? Because I'm not able to hear whatever the mother is saying.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji.
Hare Krishna.
Such a wonderful explanation about devotee association. I really appreciate it. It reminds me that in the conditioned state, our taking initiation doesn't make us liberated immediately. It's a process, an eternal process, like Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. And because in the conditioned state, what happens that one inevitably ends up making the wrong decision. So devotees are our shelter, because devotees will remind us. We will look up to devotees, how we are doing, and devotees go out of their way. And devotees also show intolerance when something is not happening properly. So we are indebted to devotees even after initiation, more more than ever before. Because conditioned state, one should not think that one has become freed from condition. One has become liberated. It's a paradox that even the liberated souls never think that they are liberated. Just to set the proper example for most of us, you know, Hare Krishna.
Once one devotee went to Srila Prabhupada and asked Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, which is more important, book Bhagavata or a devotee Bhagavata? So Srila Prabhupada said, devotee Bhagavata is very, very important because a devotee Bhagavata can tweak your ears and drag you to the lotus feet of Krishna. So we should lend our ears to the Vaishnavas, not only to hear Srimad Bhagavatam, but also to be tweaked. When we don't obey, when we are trying to become naughty, just allow them to, like how a mother sometimes in India, I mean not in the US system, but sometimes at a very young age, sometimes the mother holds the ears of the child when their child is naughty. I mean, I used to, you know, receive such things in my childhood days. So you can tweak your ears and drag it to the lotus feet of Krishna, it's our, you know, good fortune. So hence, Vaishnava association is inseparable in our spiritual journey.
Yes, it's a perceivable manifestation of Krishna, Guru and Vaishnavas. Like the five manifestations of Krishna described, you know, the Swayam Rupa, the expansions, the avataras, the Lord
yes,
in the heart,
yes.
The deity and the Guru Vaishnavas, they are the perceivable expansions of Krishna. Other four, we have sometimes doubts. Whether deity is God or not, Lord in the heart, who has seen, I don't feel. Krishna Swayam Rup, he is completely independent, when he will come, manifest, when I will hear the flute or if I will ever. But the devotee's expansion, means expansion of Krishna is devotees. That's why we say Hari Guru Vaishnava, there's ultimate advancement. One can see that, oh, I worship Krishna and I'm enough. No, that is neophyte. And one takes initiation, that is further advanced. But when one he sees devotees as the expansion of his spiritual master, he's truly on the progressive track. And that is a direct manifestation. Because perceivable, direct means perceivable. Even Srimad Bhagavatam one right. studies on his own, as you said wonderfully. Who will drag us to Krishna if we are, in spite of studying Bhagavatam, so many things can happen without devotees perceivable association. We will run the risk of whatever, Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Maharaj. Any other questions or comments?
Thank you so much, Prabhuji. The class was very wonderful and really like the way at the end of the class you talk about the realizations or the crux of the whole class. So thank you so much, Prabhuji.
Thank you so much. I think no more questions, so we can end the class.
Yes. Are there any more questions for Prabhuji at this point? Otherwise, we'd like to end the class. So once again, thank you so much, Prabhuji, and we really look forward to having your association again in future. I'm very grateful to you.
Hare Krishna.
Wonderful. Vaishnavya Kripa Sindhubhya Vicha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Grantra Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. His Grace Ram Gridhari Prabhuji Ki Jai.